Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an interview with Trecker Armstrong, Director, Architecture and Planning, TransCanada Information Systems. Together with his role as a leading thought leader in business and technology, Trecker is the past Calgary Section President for KIPS, Canada's Association of IT Professionals, and currently serves as a board director on the National Board of KIPS. Trecker, you bring a lifetime of proven leadership and success to our audience. We thank you for doing this interview with us today.
Well, thank you, Stephen. It's my pleasure.
Trecker, please overview TransCanada.
Sure. TransCanada is the in responsible development and reliable operation of North American energy infrastructure. So TransCanada has a network of wholly owned natural gas pipelines that extend for more than 59,000 kilometers, or 36,500 miles for those in the U.S., tapping into virtually every major gas supply basin in North America, predominantly here the Western Sedimentary Basin in Alberta, and then we have access through a marine pipeline in the Gulf Coast. TransCanada is also one of the continent's largest providers of gas storage and related services, with approximately 360 billion cubic feet of storage capacity. We're also a growing independent power producer with interest in more than 7,700 megawatts of generating capacity, fueled by either nuclear, natural gas, hydro, wind, and coal.
Trecker, can you describe the major challenges and solutions in your role as Director, Architecture and Planning for TransCanada? Or framed another way, in your current role, what are the biggest challenges and their solutions, and how does this relate to business?
Well, specifically in my enterprise architecture role, it's really developing the common vision requirements and the subsequent future state architectures across multiple technology domains in support of the company's strategy. So the approach, in terms of the solution, the approach that we have adopted is more for a fit-for-purpose and supportive business-driven strategy, meaning that we look at breadth before depth and using our understanding of business priority to focus on specific architecture domains. In doing so, we have to work closely across all areas of information systems and extending into the business to understand the current state and then also be able to communicate what the roadmap is to that intended future state architecture. Our second challenge related to that is one of, once you have this future state architecture, it's around effective governance processes. And so this is around standards and project-level standards, compliance activities, which include things like stage gate architecture reviews and solution design patterns. We need to do this without becoming ivory tower and kind of removed from the real world. So how we address that is, again, through a number of other variety of approaches. Continuous improvement and organizational feedback is important. We also use a third party to assess our EA maturity on an annual basis. And then we also look for opportunities to benchmark ourselves against others in the EA practice. We try and adopt industry best practices, and we also participate in local SIGs to broaden our thinking. How all this relates to the business is through developing organizational agility while reducing the total cost of ownership for management of TransCanada's technology assets.
What are your views on addressing IT alignment with business performance and strategy?
IT alignment with business performance and strategy is critical and has become what I see as a bit of the holy grail for information systems. And despite the years of focus by industry, it still remains topical and elusive. You know, we still strive to communicate and demonstrate alignment to business unit objectives and company strategy. Within TransCanada, we use a number of frameworks to do this, including kind of the broader portfolio management approach that includes both asset and project portfolio reviews with senior leadership.
What mechanisms do you have in place to ensure a top-down business strategy-driven process that bridges the gap between forward-looking business vision strategy and the portfolio of IT investments TransCanada will make to support that strategy?
So as I mentioned earlier, it's primarily addressed through IT portfolio planning. And that consists of really kind of four components. One is IT asset management, so understanding your currently installed plant. We use terminologies like that from our business, given alignment with TransCanada's field operations around plant. So when we refer to plant, it's similar to application assets and infrastructure. So you've got to understand your current plant. Next is kind of road mapping and planning. So that's the process of managing the migrations from the current state to the future target architecture. In addition, there's a component of new technology evaluation, which is the assessment of emerging and new to the organization technologies for both architectural fit and obviously business benefit. And then we get into this IT business strategy alignment, which is the analysis of business needs and translation to IT and EA action. So we do that through reviews with the senior leadership on the portfolio.
What are your key lessons from your long career that you wish to share with IT and business managers?
It's all about the business. It's not about technology for technology's sake. In today's environment, every IT professional must be able to translate their contribution into meaningful business terms. Whether you're seen as being strategic or a cost of service, a service desk operator, or a CIO, it's necessary for you to articulate how you can positively impact the business you support through the application of information technology.
What are the most important challenges and solutions for managers in 2007 and beyond?
I would like to take this opportunity, actually, Stephen, to focus on a specific challenge. I believe that there's a perfect storm on the horizon, and this is actually one of the motivating factors for my involvement with KIPPS. I fall into the category of a baby boomer. Many people like myself will be eligible for retirement in the next decade. In addition, Canada as a country will rely on immigration to maintain its population, so our numbers are decreasing. There has been a significant decrease in enrollment at post-secondary institutions in information technology-related fields. And then lastly, you have the Gen Yers, who are characterized as having different values with a resulting generational gap. All these factors will result in a labor shortage in our profession. And I'm worried, and we need to look seriously at the potential consequences of this and take initiative today, even though this is a 2010-2012 problem. We need to focus on recruitment, retention, and succession. Additionally, we need to understand that outsourcing may no longer be driven by the lower TCO, but I believe simply by the need to access talent. The world is indeed flat, and we need to understand how we'll be managing this in the future. I believe that this requires immediate focus and action today to avoid this perfect storm of the future.
So the industry is changing. What advice would you give to IT professionals to stay on top of what is happening in the industry in order to position them and their organization to benefit from these trends?
Well, the first tip I'd give IT professionals in regard is to join KIPPS if they haven't already. If not KIPPS, then another related industry society. These are great forums to get a pulse on the profession. And I do agree that the industry has changed, or is changing. I've watched the necessary mechanics of IT, which is the management of infrastructure, becoming increasingly commoditized and outsourced. I also see the industry need and shortage of business analysts and business process specialists. So I believe that the IT professionals should look at participation in societies, if they have access, subscription to research organizations, and of course keeping up on related publications. All that will contribute to your understanding of the trends and potential impact to your organization and your career.
What key lessons can you provide taken from your long history of management experience and success?
Regardless of whether you're in information systems or in some other business area, effectiveness is really around people, change, and business leadership. And so when we talk about that, people leadership is about setting vision as well as inspiring and motivating your employees. The change leadership is about influencing multiple internal and external stakeholders to change and build relationships for value creation. And business leadership is, achieving the results through the application of this knowledge, experience, and your skill. So from a management perspective, it really revolves around effectiveness in people, change, and business leadership.
Can you share a story, something humorous or amazing or unexpected from your work?
Yes, I can, Stephen. Actually, with TransCanada, I've had the opportunity to live actually in many cities, from Toronto, which actually was Burlington, to Houston and San Francisco. What comes to mind specifically was my move to the corporate office in Toronto. I was actually located here in Calgary and was asked to move to the Toronto office. This was actually the third time that the request was made, and I thought it would be in my career interest not to decline it again. So I just finished selling my house in Calgary and taking possession of one in Ontario, and the company announced that they're moving back, or moving the head office to Calgary. So what actually makes me laugh is that when my Calgary colleagues heard this, they asked if I would return the painting that they gave me presented to me on my transfer, because they believe I didn't live up to the bargain and stay in Toronto.
So did you actually have a post-event meeting with them and sort of have a good talk about it or something like that? Or?
Actually, we did. It was quite a chuckle, especially since I was in a situation when it was announced that all the outbound lines in the office were in Commerce Court on King and Bay. And as soon as, of course, the company announced it was moving the corporate office, everyone was phoning their spouses and significant others. And so, like them, I was trying to as well. Now, I couldn't get a hold of my wife because there was no available lines. But we actually had, at the time, the only grandchildren in Calgary moved to Toronto. And so the grandparents actually got a hold of it before we did and phoned my wife to say, "Oh, this is great news that you're moving back to Calgary." And of course, I hadn't been able to tell my wife that.
Can you provide your predictions of future IT and business trends and their implications and opportunities?
Well, certainly, I'll give you my view, and likely it's not a lot different than what you would see circulating in various publications. But I'll start off with one of the trends, which I think is compliance legislation will continue to evolve and grow. And the implications and opportunities, and as we see in many cases, an organization's ability to meet compliance legislation actually ends up translating to significant efforts by information systems, whether it's CSOCs or Sarbanes-Oxley as an example. I mean, compliance is mandatory, but we also have to understand that we need to support these efforts while continuing to deliver value through other discretionary business initiatives. So we can't be bogged down just by meeting compliance. The next trend, I think, is an increased investments in cybersecurity will see a step change increase. And companies continue to evolve their business and leverage the internet. But what you're seeing, of course, is organized crime is moving into the cybersecurity arena and making profit. We'll need to continually evolve your security posture to be able to meet this changing landscape. The third trend, I would say, is virtual organizations will become more of the norm. I mean, right now, companies deliver services through kind of a web of internal and external relationships. The ability to collaborate effectively and securely and participate in orchestrated processes both internally and externally will become more and more of a priority for your business. And build information systems will be looked at to solve this problem. The fourth trend is kind of the application service providers, I believe, will take more of a market share. As you see, kind of the dominant players such as SAP, Oracle, and Microsoft in the ISV industry offer software as a service, more companies will be evaluating their offerings. And with the advancements in SOA, or service-oriented architecture, and the ability to integrate these applications with your internal systems, the value proposition is becoming more and more compelling. And then lastly is the kind of continued commoditization of information technology and the implications. As I mentioned earlier, I believe that infrastructure services are becoming further commoditized and they'll be outsourced. Understanding that this may be more selective than in what we've seen in the past, where actually the entire management of infrastructure was outsourced, you may see more targeted or selective outsourcing. This means that IT management will need to enhance their vendor management capabilities and relationship skills as opposed to technology. All this, the value of the information systems department will need to actually move up the value chain and become more adept at business analysis and business process design as opposed to simply running the plant. So five kind of trends around compliance, legislation continuing to evolve and grow, investments in cybersecurity requiring a step change, virtual organizations becoming more of the norm, ASPs increasing their market share, and of course, continued commoditization of information technology.
Trecker, just to sort of relate it to this kind of idea about business that you talked about earlier, do you think then that from an IT professional standpoint, there should be sort of a greater focus on things like core business and industry knowledge, a service-oriented attitude, interpersonal, interrelationship, project management, communication skills, and with a technology base?
Absolutely. I fully support that. And if people have read Nicholas Carr's article out of the Harvard Business Review around IT doesn't matter, even though I don't completely agree with him, and I've had actually the opportunity to meet with him personally, that he really talks about kind of the necessary mechanics becoming less compelling and that it'll be offered in a variety of different ways. He does see and differentiates in terms of looking at more participating directly in the business. And I see that for sure for us here in TransCanada, and the opportunity that I've had to have similar conversations with peers and colleagues in industry and here in Calgary would support that as well.
What are your top recommended resources and why?
Not in any priority order, but first of all is colleagues. So your internal network within the company and industry that you work in. And this is really kind of around shared business and industry knowledge and building collaboration and influence with your respective businesses. So colleagues are one. Then I would use peer and social network. This is really to extend your understanding outside your immediate context and possibly industry, you know, challenging you to think outside your box. This is, of course, an area where KIPS plays a significant role for me. Communities of interest, you know, accumulation of best practices and sharing of knowledge within specific domains. So in my case, participating in the local forum here for the architecture as well as a executive council in Washington. The fourth is the research firms themselves, and that can range from gardeners of the world to CIO executive board. And this helps to not only identify future trends, but look at industry adoption and possibly some of the challenges there. And then, of course, lastly, is the publications within your industry and externally. You may find exploitation opportunities may come from proven technology that's deployed outside your industry. So if you use an example of FedEx vehicle tracking and the opportunity to look at that for your own company fleet, you know, in trying to support compliance for work-alone policy, et cetera. So kind of five areas that I look at, which is obviously your colleagues, peers and social networks, communities of interest, research firms, and publications.
Can you profile KIPS in your past and current roles within the organization?
Stephen, I've been with KIPS, or been a KIPS member since 1984, and that was about 2 years after graduating from university. And I've always believed in the professional stature of our industry, and I successfully challenged the ICCC exams in 1986, receiving the CDP designation. This was before KIPS Alberta had an ISP offering, and obviously on the introduction of that accreditation here in Alberta, I applied for and received the information systems professional. For the majority of my membership with KIPS, I benefited from the local section events and networking. But I've recently reached a point in my career where I'm able to contribute back to the profession that's provided me with such a challenging career. And this led to a term as president and past president of the local section. And now I'm involved in the, as an Alberta regional director for KIPS National. In addition, I'm a section representative on National's governance committee, as you're aware.
What are the inherent values in belonging to this organization?
Well, I value the ability to contribute to the development and promotion of quality standards, practices, research, certification, and the professional development, almost the tagline for KIPS. Also, by providing value back to TransCanada through the networking and industry insight that I gather as a result of this membership.
What added passions do you have?
Well, outside the office, it would revolve around family and personal interests. I'm approaching my 25th wedding anniversary, and I have three children, with the oldest two currently in university. On the personal front, I'm a commercial pilot and aircraft owner, active in recreational aviation here. And currently, I'm the secretary of our Airdrie Flying Club, as well as I'm the scholarship chair for the Canadian Owners and Pilots Association. I also had past ambitions to be an oceanographer quite some time ago, and so as a result, I hold an open advanced open water certification with PADI.
You have a family history in that area of aircraft flight and so forth, don't you?
I do. Actually, my father, now deceased, is in the Aviation Hall of Fame for Canada, and he's had a significant career in aviation. Actually, all seven of the family, both my mother and father, as well as the five kids, had a pilot's license, and the three boys are active in flying today, including owning their own aircraft as well as myself.
Oh, that's quite a remarkable sort of link to the whole industry and just flight as a passion.
Well, especially since, I mean, they chose, unlike my father, who had a career in aviation, my other brothers are actually physicians and chose to fly recreationally, just as I have.
Trekker, can you provide commentary of topics on You're choosing?
Yeah, I can, and it's likely come through in the conversation, but I'm an advocate for recognizing our industry as a profession. That's why I sought, various accreditations, including the ISP, and this is also why I'm a member and active within KIPPS. I believe that it's only a matter of time before having an accreditation will be a required as a right to practice, and personally I would like to see the ISP become that accreditation. I'm also hopeful that the reason for this isn't really a result of some catastrophic incident resulting from the profession, as has been in other cases. And I believe that we can actually prevent this by supporting and promoting the professional status of our industry.
So it sounds like that's another passion of yours, then, the whole professionalism aspect and professional certification, a common body of knowledge, a code of ethics, and so forth.
Absolutely.
Well, Trecker, we will continue to follow your significant contributions in your work and on the industry front. And we thank you for sharing your time, wisdom, and accumulated deep insights with our audience.
Stephen, it's been my pleasure.